Turning this morning to Hebrews chapter 2, please. I did leave with you a thought when we're considering Joshua. That night he went amongst the brethren. He became like one of them. He wasn't a leader that sat in the camp, but he was a leader who led. And I draw your attention to the same thought here concerning Christ. Hebrews 2, and the apostle has spoken of the Savior as prophet and as king. Now he considers his priesthood. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Amen. It's really that verse 17 that I want to draw your attention to, even around the table of the Lord this morning. It speaks, of course, as Christ as a merciful and faithful high priest. I want you to see, first of all, however, the necessity of him becoming man. The first part says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. I draw your attention particularly to the word behoved. In the connotation of the Greek language, it had three aspects to it. It meant to pay a debt. It was used in that context. Matthew 18, in the words of verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. The word owe there, and owest, is the same word, behoved. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. The word debt is the same word, behoved. So it has to do with the context of paying a debt. But in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, it is also used in the context of a duty. And we read in that verse, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And the word bound there is the word behoved. We're bound to thank God for you. It was a duty that the apostle had to thank the Lord. So it was used in the context of a debt, of a duty, and of a punishment. John chapter 19, and the words of verse 7. And the same word is found therein, for it says, the Jews answered him, that is to Pilate, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of Man. And the word ought there is the same word as behoved. So the word behoved is used in three contexts. To pay a debt, a duty, to do a duty, and in the punishment of sin. Now men and women, that is why Christ had to become man, because he is our surety. He was the one who had come to pay our debt that we could not pay. He was the one who came to do his Father's will and to finish the work that the Father gave unto him. He had a duty to do. That duty meant becoming man and going to the cross. And Christ, of course, was the one who took upon himself our sins to bear our punishment. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. On that cross, he was God, but he was man. He was without sin, but he was man dying in our guilty room and place. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Let me show you secondly from this verse, his priestly work. It speaks about his priesthood, that he is a faithful, he is a merciful high priest in all things pertaining to God. But you see the emphasis of his work. to make reconciliation. To make reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation is a word that's bandied about in our country. But it is a word which has a twofold meaning to it. It means to be merciful in the pardoning of sins. And you've only got to think of that publican in the temple in Luke chapter 18. Smiting upon his breast, he cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." The word merciful is propitious. Be propitious to me. Be merciful to me. Pardon my sins on account of the sacrifice. On account of the one who is the advocate. On account of the one who is the redeemer. On account of Christ. Lord, be propitious to me, the sinner. Christ, of course, is a propitiation, as we read about in 1 John 2 and 1 John 4. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. God sent His Son to be a propitiation for His people. It means to be merciful, but you know it also means to make satisfaction, to make appeasement. It means to pacify God. Because God is the offended one because of our sin. Adam sinned against the Lord and we sinned in him. Where before there was fellowship, now there's enmity because of sin. Reconciliation has the meaning of pacifying God. The one who is offended because of our sin. Means to be merciful. Means to make satisfaction, to pacify God. That's what Christ did on the cross. He was the propitiation for our sins. He was the one who was to appease God, to turn away God's wrath on our behalf. Romans 5, the word of verse 10 will give you the truth of that. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That sums it up. It's through Christ's death that you and I could be reconciled. You want a glorious type of it? You'll find it in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel. And it is of Absalom and of David. David loved Absalom. He loved him. But you know, David had to part from Absalom. Because Absalom rose up and he was to commit murder. And there was sin. And he was to flee from his father. And there was a distance between Absalom and David for a long time. You know, in that chapter of 2 Samuel 14, we read of Joab. Joab was a mediator. He spoke to David the king. He spoke about Absalom afar off, in a far off land. And that mediator went and he got Absalom. He brought him back to the place where David and Absalom were reconciled. We read in the words of verse 33 of 2 Samuel 14, so Joab came to the king and told him. When he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Not the other way around. David was pacified. David was satisfied. King of kings, we are in union with Him. Because God is pacified through His death. That's the work as the great high priest. He is the great high priest, but at Calvary He was also the sacrifice. That we might be reconciled to a holy God. You see, finally, the recipients of His faithfulness. For it says to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The people. That, of course, was the custom in the Old Testament time of the high priests. They made atonement for the people. But I put it to you, it goes further than that. For the people speaks to us of an exclusion. In the Old Testament time, the high priests had to offer a sacrifice first for their own sins. But Christ, when he made reconciliation in the cross, he didn't have to do it for his own sins, for he had none. It was for the people. See it? He didn't have to appease God for his own sin because he was sinless. In him was no guile. There was no sin found in his mouth, in his person, in his being. He was making reconciliation for the sins of the people. And you know, not only is it a word that speaks of exclusion, but it also is a word that speaks of limitation. It's only the people whom God the Father gave to him. Christ didn't die on the cross to reconcile the whole world. He died on the cross to make reconciliation for those the Father gave, for all of God's elect. How do you know? Well, I take you back to the message that Joseph received in Matthew 1. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. His people from their sins. It's a limited atonement. He made reconciliation only for God's elect. Who are God's elect? That's not your business or mine. We are God's elect because we're saved today and been redeemed with precious blood. But there are those still for whom Christ died, and I have to preach the gospel to them, not knowing who they are. That's God's sovereign will. But he died for our sins on that cross. We are the recipients of Christ's faithfulness. He paid it all. May the Lord bless those few thoughts to your hearts this morning for his own name's sake. One of the brethren will give thanks for the bread. It does remind us of the broken body of the Savior, broken on the cross for you and for me.